Welcome to the AP Now podcast, the podcast that covers trends, insights, and emerging issues impacting every accounts payable function. Your host, Mary Schaefer, is the founder of AP Now, a B2B digital information and learning company focused on all issues related to AP. Stay tuned as Mary and her guests discuss the business intelligence you need to ensure a cost-effective, technologically efficient, fraud-resistant, regulatory-compliant accounts payable function. Without further ado, let's dive right in.
Welcome to episode 38 of the AP Now podcast. I'm Mary Schaefer, the podcast host, and I'm here today to talk about innovations and tweaks in fraud and what your organization needs to do to protect itself. Unfortunately, we've run into a lot of frauds in the last, well, it continues. It's not just new. Today's show is brought to you by Stamply, a leader in AI-powered invoice automation. So, as I said, we're going to talk about fraud. We've got a lot of it, and it continues. I mean, I keep hoping that it's going to get a little better, but it doesn't. So I write a free e-zine that goes out twice a week. And recently, a few weeks ago, I asked readers to write in if they had anything new or interesting to say about business email compromise fraud. And what I was hoping was that I wouldn't hear from many people, okay, and that maybe things had calmed down a little. But that's not what happened. I heard from a number of people. Kind of backs up what I'm hearing anecdotally when I go out and I talk to people. So what I heard was not necessarily about new frauds, but what I like to call tweaks or innovations to existing frauds. So I guess on some front there was some good news in that I didn't run into some whole new frauds. But what did happen, and I'm going to share some of those experiences that my readers shared with me with you, but what we did find is that crooks, unfortunately, are quite innovative, and they're tweaking some of the existing frauds to take advantage of you, basically, you know, companies to try and get their hands on their money. So I'm going to give you several examples, and then I will have our best practices, or perhaps I should say new best practices, or tweaked best practices so that this doesn't happen to you. So let's start off with one. I call this the innovation or the tweak one. And what in this case happened is it was a form of business email compromise fraud, and in this case, what the crook did is they played around with Outlook, okay? So what happened here is the fraudster placed an Outlook rule on an accounts payable processor's email account so that it automatically deleted emails that came from an actual recipient so that the fraudster could take over the conversation. And in this particular case, what they did is they used an email address that closely matched the actual recipient's email address. And we've heard this numerous times. And what they did is they added an extra T. You know, if it was Jarrett.com, which ended in a T, a single T, they put two T's. And then they initiated a direct deposit change, you know, kind of like the change of bank account request. So in this case, what happened is they married two frauds, if you will, the change of bank account fraud that we're all dealing with in spades, if you will, unfortunately, and an account takeover. So they married two frauds, taking advantage of Outlook. The second innovation or tweak involved something similar, but in this, the crook was watching the email account, and they noticed that there was a request from a valid vendor that asked for a change of email address. So they allowed the correspondence to go back and forth between the legitimate account holder and the target, and then it was only after a second reply came that they intercepted the email and took the place, if you will, of the legitimate target, and again made a slight tweak to the email address that unfortunately the recipient didn't catch. And so what we've seen here now, these are two different companies, two different frauds, and what the crooks are doing in these cases is they're going out and setting up a URL that is quite similar to the URL of the company. That's number one. Or when they're changing the email address, in one of these cases, they used a Hotmail account, but it could have been Gmail, Yahoo, any of those. And then they, you know, intercepted the conversation. Okay. And now I want to just talk about a third one. This one actually, well, they all saddened me, but this one I felt particularly betrayed, if you will. And in this case, you know, we talk about is fraud internal or external. And we talk again about these change of bank account frauds, of which there are a ton of them. And in this case, the company in question was using a self-service vendor portal for its master vendor file information so that the vendor was responsible going in and putting in all the change of bank account information. So this kind of removed the onus, if you will, a little bit from the company of having to go out and verify that yes, this was a legitimate change of bank account request. Unfortunately for them, somebody did go in, one of their own employees, not somebody at the vendor's location, but one of their own employees went in, they got into the system and put in a change to bank account number, so they got the money, or some account that they held got the money instead of the vendor. So, you know, that tells me we've got to make a change, unfortunately, in how we verify. And so that having a self-service vendor portal, which in the past we had thought was perfect protection against this type of fraud, unfortunately, no longer is. And looks like even if you're using one of those self-service vendor portals, you're still going to have to go and verify that the change is legitimate, unfortunately. And lastly, the last innovation, if you will, is that it's pervasive and it's non-discriminatory, so that the crooks they'll go after anybody within the company. They don't discriminate. You don't have to be a high-level person, low-level person, as long as you're breathing and they can get into your email account. You're a target. And in this case, the real-life example, unfortunately, was a company that had a small number of employees. It wasn't necessarily a small company, but had a small number of employees, and virtually every single employee at this company has at one time or another been targeted and received a message that supposedly came from the CEO, but of course it didn't. So that's kind of where we are today. Okay, before we discuss best practices and how you can guard against this and make sure it doesn't happen in your organization, we've got a message from our sponsor. AP professionals know invoices are easy to lose, and it takes time to track down approvers while also having to code, log, cross-reference, verify, reconcile, and cut checks, all while staying compliant. Stamply simplifies all that. When invoices enter the system, Stamply's AI, called Billy the Bot, immediately gets to work by proposing GL codes, approvers, and flagging issues like PO mismatches and potential duplicates. AP simply confirms the information is correct and submits the invoice for approval. Now, here's the best part. Stamply fixes the disconnected communications between approvers, accounts payable, and vendors. With Stamply, conversations are centered around each invoice, and anyone can be invited to the conversation, getting to an approval decision up to 5 times faster. Visit Stamply.com/AP now. See for yourself how your team can work harder, not smarter. That's Stamply.com/AP now. All right. Let's move on and let's talk about some solutions or some best practices that every organization should be using to make sure that they don't fall for this. You can't stop yourself from being targeted, okay? At the end of the day, there's just nothing that you can do. But you can stop the crooks from being successful. So I like to say practice number one, education is the silver bullet. And in this case, we mean educating every single person within your organization about these new frauds, because we never know who the crooks are going to target. And by the way, not only should this education include, you know, what these new frauds are, but your employees should be taught not to click on links from questionable sources and not to go to, you know, surfing the internet at work, going to websites that may be questionable, because that's how the crooks were able to hijack the account and take over the email. They either clicked on a link, downloaded an attachment. So we really need to step up our game, if you will, when it comes to educating our staff and everyone on staff. Okay, that's step number one, or as I like to say, tactic number one. Tactic number two, I like to say the new normal is now verify everything. Okay, every single change request, you need to verify it. And the way you verify, unfortunately, is not sending an email, because that'd be pretty simple. Still take some time, but pick up the phone and call. And when you pick up the phone and call, it goes without saying that you don't use the phone number that's in the email. Basically, if you have a phone number that's on site, that's fine. Otherwise, get online, look up the company website, look up their main number, and work your way back from that. One of the people who wrote in about these new frauds that they've been experiencing also shared with us that when they verify, they also try and verify with a second party, somebody who, other than the person who sent the original request, even if it is a legitimate from the vendor, and it is legitimate. So at least two people at the vendor's location are aware of this request. Person also noted that this takes a lot of time, and yes, it does, okay? But, you know, $1 million goes out the door. That's serious also. Okay, so the new normal, verify everything. And now don't forget your new employees. One of the frauds, and I'll talk a little bit about it more on the next slide, the gift card scam. An attendee at one of the webinars I was going wrote me a little note while I was talking, and I was explaining the gift card scam and what it was. And she said, you know, her company had gotten hit several times, not because they were stupid, okay, but because what the crook did is they stayed on top of who new hires were at the company, and they went after the new hires. So, you know, the company educated everybody, and then they hired two new people, and the crook went after that person. And so it took several iterations of this before the company realized, oh, my God, we have to educate our new employees as well as our existing employees. So once somebody is hired, you might make that part of your new hire training. Unfortunately. Now, it's that time of the year, okay, at least if you're listening to this after it's first recorded. And so I just want to remind you the gift card scam, the way the gift card scam works is one of your employees gets an email, supposedly from the CEO, the CFO, their boss, whoever it is, we sometimes call this boss impersonation fraud, asking them to go out and buy some gift cards, usually for a company party. Person goes out, gets the gift cards, and then they get a second email, and it says, now that you've got those, have you got those gift cards? And they say yes, and the boss or the supposed boss says, okay, can you scratch out that silver marking on the back so we can get the numbers from underneath it? And then can you text me those numbers or email me those numbers or scan the back of the cards and email me the scans? Now, you'd think that a light would go off when somebody asked you to do this, but unfortunately, people are falling for this. And because it's usually not a huge amount of money, $500, $1,000, $2,000. It's not gotten the publicity. But now, one of the ways the crooks write is we're getting ready for the Christmas party or the year-end party. So make sure all your employees are aware of this. Okay? And then I just want to, before I close for the day, I want to remind you of what I call the almost frauds. And these are scams, and I do think they're kind of scams, that just flirt on real close up to the edge, but technically they're not frauds. And so the one that reminded me of this is we got a notice with a bill asking us, you know, to pay $228 for our domain listing. Now, if your people are hurrying, they might think that that's your domain registration and just go ahead and pay it. But it's not, okay? It's for some third-party service that we're not interested in, we didn't sign up for. It even says we appreciate your purchase, you know, on the document they sent us, which somewhere it probably says this is a billing notice, not or a solicitation, not an invoice, because as I said, they walk right up to the line. Okay, so you might get that for domain listings. We've also seen legal type notices about this. You know, this is, you know, your employment fee, you know, your employment registration fee, something of that nature. So just look at this stuff closely. Is it fraud? Technically not, because somewhere it is marked on there. But again, it's usually not huge dollar amounts, and people don't tend to pay as much attention to these as they should. Okay, it's that time of the year, I think, or depending on when you're listening to this. So please don't fall for that fraud. And in conclusion, I just like to tell you that anytime anyone's asking for money or information, don't forget, sometimes they're asking for information, you want to be suspicious, okay? Especially if it's anything out of the ordinary. Look closely at those email addresses, and when in doubt, ask, okay? Even if you're 95% sure and there's only that 5% chance, ask, okay? Better to be to verify and be told, no, it's legitimate, than to go ahead and send money where you shouldn't have or information, okay? I wish you all the best of luck. And I'd like to take a moment to thank you for listening to this podcast. And a special thanks to our sponsor, Stamply, a leader in AI-powered invoice and automation, for making this podcast possible. If you like the podcast, please take a moment to rate this episode, review this episode, subscribe to the series, or even better, share it with your community on LinkedIn, Facebook, or wherever. To be alerted to new episodes, please visit www.ap-now.com and sign up for a free twice-a-week e-zine. It contains tips, news of upcoming AP Now webinars, article postings, new episodes of the podcast, and more. I hope to see you again on another AP Now podcast. Have a good day.